Welcome to our sermon series, Faith Over Fear. Today, we dive into the scriptures to see how we can be empowered to live by faith.
Last week, we talked about biblical faith because we need to make sure we distinguish between common faith and biblical faith. Common faith is what everybody has. When you walked in here, you sat on that chair because you had a level of faith that that chair would hold you. But when we talk about biblical faith, it's the faith that trusts in God for some impossible things. And we say that kind of faith comes by hearing the word of God. And then when you've had the word, you believe the word of God. And once you've believed it, you then go to action. You do the word of God. And that's what we talked about last week in biblical faith. Now I want to ask you a question. What happens if you have heard the word of God, you have really believed it, and then you have acted on the word of God and nothing happens? What do you do when you do all these things that we've talked about and still you see no result? And so today, I want to talk about a person in the Bible. His name is Abraham, and he went through exactly that situation. He heard from God, he believed God, and he acted, but somehow things didn't go as he expected. And I can bet you today, every one of us here can say, there is something I believed God for and it hasn't happened. Anybody like that? What do you do? What do you do when that becomes a reality? Does it begin to mean that God is unfaithful? Does it mean faith doesn't really work? Does it mean his word is not true? What do you do? And so here, from the story of Abraham, we're going to learn what we got to do when we have heard the word, when we've believed the word, and when we've acted on the word, and somehow things are not happening. Usually, that is a phase when our faith is being tested. Everybody say, tested. And we got to pass the test. So in the story of Abraham, if I start his journey from around here, and I'm going to make the way that way, God gives Abraham a promise. He speaks to Abraham. He gives him a word. And that is in Genesis chapter 12. Hear this promise that God gives to Abraham. The Lord said to Abraham, at that point, his name was Abraham. It hadn't even changed. Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. And then God begins to unload what he was going to do in Abraham's life. He said, I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great. And you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. And whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Wow! That's like a massive promise from God. And so Abram acted. Verse 4. So Abram went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. Listen, you're never too old to obey the word of God. You're never too old to practice faith over fear. So he set out from where he was, and he took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, and all the possessions they had accumulated, and the people they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. Here we see Abram getting a promise from God. And God saying, go to a place called Canaan. Although we know it as Canaan, but God had told him, I'm going to show you when you get there. And when you are there, I am going to bless you. I'm going to make your name great. Because where you are, nobody even knows you're a great man. But I'm going to make your name great. And tells Abraham, by the way, anybody that tries to touch you, I'm going to deal with them. And says to Abraham, through you, the peoples of the earth are going to be blessed. And Abram says, all right, God, I'm going to obey your word. And Abram makes the move. And he gets to Canaan, the place God wanted him to be. Now he heard the word, he believed it, and he moved. He acted on the word. But I'd like you to see that when he got to the land, his faith had to face testing. Our faith, my friends, will be tested. When we talk about a year of faith over fear, there is something we need to also be aware of, that our faith is going to face the test. There's going to come a time when the word that you have heard from God is going to be tested, where your belief in God is going to be tested. Even your actions are going to be tested. And so when you've done everything you know to do and nothing seems to be happening, my friend, that is the point where you need to recognize, this is the time when I'm being tested. So what kind of test did Abraham experience? God had said, go from your country. Leave what you're familiar with. Go to a place where I'm going to bless you. Now, I want you to just think about all these tests. As soon as Abraham gets to the place where God had promised him to be, guess what? The land was full of famine. How can I be blessed in a place of famine? In fact, Abraham, when he got to the land, because there was a severe famine, he had to go to another place. He seemed to have been diverted. He decided to go to Egypt with his wife. And he must have been thinking, God, you said you're going to bless me in this land. Now the land you're talking about is not even producing any fruit. And so Abraham finds himself in Egypt, in a different place. As he goes to Egypt, he's again tested there. Because his wife Sarai was very beautiful. And Abraham knew, he said, ha, these Egyptian boys are not simple. They don't care whether you're my wife. In fact, if they know you're my wife, they'll kill me so they can get you. Sometimes God will put you in places where your life is really at risk. And Abraham is going through this test. And guess what? He decides to concoct a lie. Then he tells Sarai, he says, Sarai, when they ask you, you're so beautiful, who's that guy with you? Tell them I'm your brother, not your husband. Because the moment you say I'm your husband, they're going to kill me. His faith was being tested. He gets to Egypt, and exactly what he feared happened. And he begins to be tested. And they tell a lie, and in fact, the Pharaoh begins to try and take Sarai for a wife and discovers actually she's married. And Pharaoh, the guys in Egypt say, how can you create a curse upon our lives? Please leave us. Abraham and Sarai go back to the place God had promised them. They get there and things seem to be going well. All of a sudden, success becomes a problem for Abraham. He's succeeding as well as his nephew Lot is succeeding. Another test comes. He has to separate with his nephew. It looks so opposite. God, you said, I will bless you in that place. And now I'm even having a family challenge here. My nephew and myself cannot stay in the same place. He's going through a test. He has conflict. But the biggest test Abraham faced was when he looked at his wife Sarai and he had the promise from God that I'm going to make you into a great nation. And this one here, he could not solve because his wife couldn't give him children. He was childless. Abraham could handle the tests externally, but when it came to this particular area, of having no children, like the story we just heard, that is a big test, my friends. He had the word of God. He believed it. He moved. But things didn't seem to happen the way he thought. Usually when you start to go through testing of your faith, here's what happens. Fear begins to creep in. Fear begins to come in. And fear can come in different colors. It begins to create doubt in your mind. Did God really say? Are you sure you had the promise of God properly? Fear begins to creep in and begins to build up inside your heart and begins to affect the very things you are believing for. And in fact, fear can begin to cause you to doubt those promises and to begin to make the wrong choices. It's not uncommon for us to let fear begin to determine the decisions we make. We see it in Abraham. Fear begins to cause him to make certain decisions. He lied because he was afraid. Now, sometimes it's easy to look at Abraham, but I gotta tell you, some of us know exactly what God wants us to do, and when our faith is being tested, we find ourselves compromising what we've always believed. You tell a small lie so that you can fit in. Oh, Pastor, I've believed God for marriage. It's taking too long, but there's this guy who seems to be interested in me. But he's saying I need to move in with him. And then we'll plan for the wedding 2 years later. And you struggle with that. You struggle with that and end up moving in with him. And doing what you thought you'd never do. Fear begins to tarnish our decision making. So in a place where faith is being tested, fear seems to want to take over. Oh, I'm so broke. But I've been given money to do something. Maybe I can negotiate so hard and the change will remain with me. Nobody will know. I'll ask them to change the receipt. Fear starts to make you do those things. I want to go and study abroad. I want to so that I have more opportunities. And then you begin to forge documents to go and get a visa. Fear causes us to make foolish decisions. Abraham found himself that way. He started to make the wrong decisions. In fact, at one point, because they had no child, Abraham's wife came and suggested to him and said, "You know what, Abraham? The only way God will fulfill his promise is if we help him." Anyone wanted to help God at some point? Said, "You're delaying. God, you're delaying. I want to help you." And so Sarai suggested to Abram and said, "You know what? I have my servant girl here. Why don't you move in with my servant girl and at least let's get a child who has your DNA?" Abram thought about it and he said, "Since you've told me as my wife, I'm going to do it." Wrong decision. And he had a child with this servant girl of theirs. And then it created family problems again. This servant girl began to despise Sarah. And as Sarah was being despised, guess what happened? Sarah came and blamed Abraham for moving in with the servant girl. And men, please understand. Sometimes your wife will ask you to do something, and if it doesn't go well, be ready to receive the blame. Don't say you said. Just say, "Thank you, madam. I am so sorry. I was so stupid to do that, even if it wasn't my suggestion." Sarah blamed Abram. Said, "You, Abram, how could you do this?" So Abram said, "You know what, Sarah? You're the boss in this house. Whatever you do, we will honor. Sarah chased away the servant girl. Because you see, sometimes fear will tarnish your decision-making ability, and small wrong decisions have big, magnificent consequences. So when we talk about faith over fear, it's about you saying, I'm still gonna stick to it, and I will not allow fear decisions to come my way. Yes, I have heard God's word, I've believed God's word, I'm doing everything I know within my ability to honor God, but it looks like it's not happening the way it should. And then the whispers begin coming, maybe do this, maybe compromise, maybe do this. It seems we didn't hear very well. Maybe you'll get the result you want. I'm telling you, my friends, those small fear decisions can tarnish your destiny. So today I want to encourage you, when your faith is being tested, stick to the principles of God's word. Stick to them. Stick to them. So we see Abraham having a great promise, and unfortunately he gets close to the promise. In fact, he's in the promised land that God had told him he would bless him in, and things are not happening the way he thought they would happen, and he's going through a test. So how did Abraham triumph over the test so that today we can call Abraham the father of all believers? What did Abraham do? And what can we learn from this story? Because we're talking about how can we have faith over fear. Because for some of you, even as I share right now, you are going through a fear moment in your life. Because things are not happening, and the 1 month has already gone. You're in second month of 2019, and you're like, wow, is this going to work? Some of you, the fear you're carrying in your heart is because you already made some wrong choices, and you're carrying the consequences of those choices, and you're even wondering, can I get out of this situation? I've got good news for you. It's never too late to choose faith over fear. Never too late. Never too late. Yes, I may have made a mess, but it is God who can turn our mess into a message of great hope. His grace is so amazing. His grace does not give us liberty to do wrong. Instead, His grace picks us out of the mess we are in and puts us on the right path. So when we're talking about faith over fear, it's not for the perfect. It's for those who trust in God. And so what did Abraham do? Here's how Abraham triumphed over the test he went through. Even in the middle of the faith test, he still chose to trust God. He still chose to trust God. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding, because our understanding sometimes is very limited. And it says, in all your ways, submit to God, and He will make your paths straight. So what do you do when you do everything you know right and things don't seem to turn out the way you thought? Here's what you do. Continue to trust in God. Abraham continued to trust in God. The way we triumph in the test is by continuing to put our eyes on Jesus, who is the author and the perfecter of our faith. Are you going through a test? Don't let the test diminish your trust in God. Choose faith over fear and continue to say, God, I look to you. I trust you. Things don't seem to be going the way I expected, but I will still trust you. I will still trust you. How do you triumph in a test? Here's what Abraham did. The second thing you do is you need to take God at His word. If God surely spoke to you, and you heard what He said to you, and you believed and decided to move, please, when the test is happening, remember that word and take God at His word. Because the Bible says, God is not a man that He should lie. He's not a son of man that he should change his mind. When he promises, he will fulfill his promise. So when you're going through that test, my friend, there are many words you're going to hear. And some of those words come from people. They say, oh, you are trusting this God, now see what's happening to you. Oh, you decided to say the truth, now you've lost your job. Oh, you've decided to live a life of integrity. Look, your biological clock is ticking. Better get a child right now, and then you may be safe. Why are you trying to continue honoring these principles of God and things are not working the way you're thinking? Many people are going to say all kinds of things. But I want to tell you, my friends, during the test, here's what you need to do. Take God at His word. Trust His word, because if He has promised, He has the ability to fulfill His promise. He has the ability. And I believe God allowed us to have an example in the person of Abraham, because for Abraham, everything seems to be impossible for the promise of God to be fulfilled. But he took God at His word. Now, I want to read you in Genesis chapter 15. If you have your Bible, please go there. It won't come up on the screen. Because I just want you to go through and see how it's important for you to take God at His word. And here's why it's important. God is a covenant-keeping God. When He promises something, it doesn't matter how long it takes, God can make it happen. Genesis 15, if you're there, I want you to just go on with me here. After Abraham had had some of those experiences with the Lord, and he told a lie, and he was becoming desperate. The Bible says, after this, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision. And this is what God said: do not be afraid, Abraham. I am your shield, your very great reward. But Abraham said, Sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless? And the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abraham said, you have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir. Then the word of the Lord came to him. Take God at His word. God said, this man will not be your heir, but a son who is in your own flesh and blood will be your heir. He took him outside and said, look up at the sky and count the stars. If indeed you can count them, then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. It was in a night time. And Abraham was complaining, God, you have promised, but nothing seems to be happening. And at that point, God says, Abraham, I want you to get out of the tent you're in. A tent of discouragement, a tent of losing hope. Get out of that tent. And God said to Abraham, look at the sky. Whatever stars you can count, I'm going to give you more children than that. God was telling a man who couldn't have children even biologically. But I love verse 6. It says, Abraham believed the Lord and he credited to him righteousness. Listen, my friend, even when it doesn't seem to make sense, continue to take God at His word. Continue to take Him at His word. And then God continues to promise Abraham and say, I'm the one who brought you from where you are to here. I will fulfill my promise. And if you go to chapter 17, I love that one. It says, when Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am God Almighty. Walk before me faithfully and be blameless. Then I will make my covenant between me and you and will greatly increase your numbers. Please understand. Let me give you the timeline. Abraham received the promise of God when he was 75. God said, go to a land, I'm going to bless you. Abraham moved to that land. And while he was going through the test, at the age of 86, 10 years, almost 10 years after, he decided to shortcut. That's when he got a child with his servant girl. But God continued to come to him and tell him, Abraham, my plan is still the same. I'm going to fulfill my plan through you and Sarah. And then when Abraham was 99 years, almost 25 years after the promise, God says to Abraham, now is my moment. You and your wife are going to have a child. When God told Abraham, Abraham first laughed. Said, really? Me, an old man, and Sarah with a closed womb and she's old? And God said to Abraham, trust me. By this time next year, you're going to have a child. When God sent angels to speak that word to Abraham, Sarah was listening. Sarah also laughed. Now, Abraham laughed. When Sarah heard, Sarah looked at Abraham, who was almost 100 years. She laughed even more. Said, how can this old Muse be able to have a child? Listen, God set it up so that today in Kampala at Watoro Church, we can get to know that it doesn't matter how long it has taken. It doesn't matter the physical situation we are in. If God has spoken, he can fulfill his word. He can. And thousands of years later, here's what Paul says in the book of Romans, the last scripture that I want to read to you today when it comes to triumphing in the test. Romans chapter 4 verses 18 to 25 says this, that against all hope, Abraham in hope believed and so became the father of many nations. Just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead since he was about 100 years old and that Sarah's womb was also dead. He said, that's the fact. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith, and he gave glory to God. Verse 21, listen, this is what you do when you're going through a test. You need to be fully persuaded that God has the power to do what he has promised. He was fully persuaded. He said, it doesn't matter how old I am, God is able to do what he has promised. And this is why it was credited to him as righteousness. My friends, when you have believed the word of God, you've heard it, and you are acting, and you are making a move to honor God, and nothing seems to be happening, continue to trust him. Continue to take him at his word. Don't take shortcuts, because you need to be persuaded. If he said it, he can do it. He can do it. So my friend, where is your faith journey today? If it's at the promise stage, trust God and move. If it's at the testing stage, continue to trust God. Continue to take him at his word, because God is able to fulfill his promise.
Thank you for listening. I hope this sets you up to choose well and excel in life. Tune in next time as we continue to explore the scripture and learn how we can overcome fear with our faith. For comments and feedback or counseling, write to connect@thetotochurch.com.